So, speaking of
What a
movies,
segue.
there's a lot of good stuff out right now. Why, you might ask? Because it's that time of year. It's that whole award season coming up. And I know you've probably been holding your breath, keeping you up at night, thinking, who's going to be nominated for the National Board of Review of Motion Pictures Awards? I can't stop thinking about
Yeah, I know. I've got a couple bets in Vegas on that one.
it.
George Clooney got Best Actor for Michael Clayton. Julie Christie scored Best Actress for Away From Her. And the big prize went to the Coen brothers for their flick No Country for Old Men, which if you haven't
So
seen,
good.
just stop whatever you're doing, go see it.
Right now, two more movies in the National Board of Review's top 10 opened this week. Atonement is one of them, and the other one's called Juno. But the NPR is hardly the last word. NBR, rather. NPR is the last word on
Right,
movies, but the
absolutely.
NBR is hardly the last word. And so for that, we go to NPR's film critic, Bob Mondello. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Rachel, how are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just fine today.
I'm good too, Bob. Thanks for asking.
Well, I'm sorry, but please forgive.
Okay, there's a
I'm
lot.
still trying to get over the idea of Ben Affleck bigger. Oh my God.
He's so big anyway. We
Yeah,
saw him.
kind of.
He came into our studios. He's huge. Okay, so let's talk first about Atonement because I'm really interested in this flick. This
It's
is.
really good. I didn't read the novel, but and for that reason, it kept surprising me. It's basically about a little girl who tells this terrible lie and affects everybody around her, especially her older sister and a guy who's living on the housekeeper's son on their estate. This is in the 1930s, and it goes into World War II, and it's friggin' gorgeous.
And does it, I mean, do they make those transitions okay? It's a lot of time to cover in a couple hours.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I got to say, the roughest transition is the one where they go into World War II. All the stuff at the estate is just captivating and gorgeous and emotionally wrenching and just kind of wonderful. And then they go into World War II, which you'd think would be emotionally wrenching and all those things. And instead, it's grand. It's huge. It's enormous. But it's so beautiful that it's almost, I mean, it's really weird. There's a tracking shot that everybody's talking about on the beach at Dunkirk that is so awesome. I mean, you look at this thing, and it's just beautiful filmmaking. It does sort of pull you out of the movie a little bit to be thinking about how gorgeous the filmmaking is,
Yeah.
but it's really, I mean, I think the picture's really impressive, and I won't say anything about the last, say, 20 minutes, except that they surprised me. I wasn't prepared for where it was going. So I think it's kind of great.
We actually have a clip of the young girl in the film, the character Brioni. She's a little older, writing a story that suggests a little more perspective on her actions. Let's listen.
Can I look? I'd rather you didn't. It's private. I don't see any point in writing a story if you're not going to let anyone read it.
It's not ready yet. It's unfinished.
What's it about?
It's complicated.
Yes.
It's just. It's about a young girl. A young and foolish girl who sees something from her bedroom window which she doesn't understand, but she thinks she does.
Bob, explain what's.
I probably won't ever finish it.
Basically, what we're hearing right there is she's talking about a story that she started writing that becomes this novel, basically. And the thing that she saw was her sister and the son of the housekeeper in what looked like a sort of compromising situation, and she didn't understand what was going on. And when you find out what was going on, it's like, oh man, she just blew it.
Okay, we'll have to go see it to check it out to understand.
In that clip, she's 18, and she's talking about what she did when she was 13. That's a rough period of growing up, as I recall.
Yeah, indeed. Speaking of which, we move from one young girl dealing with the fallout from her actions to yet another. Let's talk about Juno. I'm really excited about this one. So is Luke.
Juno is fantastic. What a great picture.
Right? Let's set it up. Let's listen first to the clip.
Great.
I'm pregnant.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I'm going to give it up for adoption, and I already found the perfect couple. They're going to pay for the medical expenses and everything, and what, 30-year-odd weeks, we can just pretend that this never happened.
You're pregnant?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And if it is any consolation, I have heartburn that is radiating in my kneecaps, and
I didn't even know you were sexually active.
Who is the kid?
The baby? I don't really know much about it other than, I mean, it has fingernails, allegedly.
Nails, really?
Yeah.
No, I don't, I mean, who is the father, Juno?
The great part is right after that, I think they says the kid's name, played by Michael Cera, and the dad says, I didn't think he had it in him.
Which is wonderful. This movie is so funny, and she's a real smart aleck.
Ellen Page.
Yeah, she's just great. I like her. What was that? Was it Hard Candy?
Yeah, yep. Hard Candy.
She's a really wonderful actress, and in this, she's so appealing. And she's Michael Cera is hysterical. Jason Bateman, who played his father in Arrested Development, is the potential adoptive father, and he's about a year older mentally when you watch the picture. And it's a really smart picture. It's really terrific and kind of whimsical and caustic at the same time, which is nice.
Let's move on to a film that's getting a little bit of controversy. I'm forgetting the name.
Golden Compass.
Golden Compass. Thanks, everyone. The Golden Compass. What's up with this? This film is getting a little bit of backlash from religious conservatives who say that there's some atheistic overtones.
Well, the books, there is. But I mean, I read the books over the summer. They're really compelling. They get progressively more about religion as they go on. The first one has been sort of denuded of any religious content as a movie. In the book, the Magisterium, this awful group is constantly being referred to as the Church. But you're in an alternate world. This is not, you know, us. This is a place where children have shape-shifting demons, little animal creatures that wander around with them. And then later, when you get older and you sort of firm up who you are, the animal solidifies into a specific animal.
Sounds complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. It's and there are armored bears, for heaven's sakes. I mean, this is not.
Of course there are.
They look like the Coca-Cola bears.
And Nicole Kidman is in this, and Daniel Craig, some big names.
Well, Daniel Craig's in it for all of about 30 seconds.
Oh, shoot, then I'm not going.
Nicole Kidman's in it a lot. He'll show up in the next two. I mean, that's the thing, if this becomes a big hit, and I think it's going to, I don't think that anything in it is going to challenge anybody's faith, and so people are not going to be uncomfortable with this. It's a terrific adventure story.
Okay.
Slightly complicated.
I'm only cutting you off because I want to give you a chance to talk about the movie that I've heard rumors that you don't really like this film. It's called The Walker. Explain.
It's so bad. It's about Washington and everything.
It doesn't sound good from the title.
Well, is Wilford Brimley in it? Does he use a walker?
That would work. No, a walker is someone who takes Senate wives to things that their husbands don't want to go to. Okay?
Professional escort.
The term was coined for Nancy Reagan. Somebody who took Nancy Reagan to a lot of things. In this case, the walker is a gay guy, and he's a gossip, and he plays Canasta, and he sounds like he came out of the 1950s, and he's played by Woody Harrelson, and you just want to kill him. He's drawling with this really thick drawl. Apparently, the filmmaker, Paul Schrader, thinks that Virginia is right next to Alabama.
It's not?
Oh, man. You can't believe. I mean, it's as if the Warners were never around. I mean, it's.
I know. Well, make up your own mind, we say. NPR film critic Bob Mondello. Thanks so much, Bob.
It's a lot of fun, as always.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
Take care yourself.